When you build a congregation, you have to offer people something. When you go into a store, you look around, you see a lot of things. But the only things you buy are the ones that are a benefit to you. Something that will help you, something that you like to eat or something you like to wear or something. And you just look and look and look. Well, as soon as you see what you want, that's what you want. And you go buy it. We're very fortunate in the world, living in a world like that. But we can do that. This is people. And when people come to a church and visit a church, one of the things is that they want to find something they don't have. They always don't always know what they want. But they know that when they find it, that's it. When they come in and they get in the congregation and, if they love music and the singing is just outstanding, fantastic congregation. Or if they like good preaching, that's a wonderful church. You know, they may not be united at all, may not have a lot of, but that person, that's what I like. And so one of the key factors in evangelizing and getting people, you see, evangelism, by the way, is very simple. You just totally close the back door, build, bar it up, there we go. You bar it all up the back door, and you build a huge front door on the church building. Now, that's figuratively speaking. You've got to have a big front door and no way to get out. Now, what you do, the way you keep them in there, you see, keep them from turning around and running back out the front door, is that you give them what they like. Now, to do that, you've got to find out what they like. Well, how do we do that? Well, I'll tell you a secret. You ask them. You ask them. When they come, where are you from? And that's the common, we ask, where are you from? Well, what congregation do you go to there? Tell me about the congregation there. And immediately, if it's one they didn't like, it's... where we came from? That was just a small congregation. If they really liked it, we came from the Northside congregation right up in such and such and such and such right there in town. If they're real positive about it, then you know that's what they like. They were happy where they were, but they had to move for some reason. And then you can ask them, what were they like there? What did you really like about that congregation? And then they'll tell you. And once they tell you, then you've got something to work with. If you ask them, did you have praise teams? Yes, we had praise teams. Well, you know immediately it's a liberal congregation because they go this way. This is the step that goes further and further and further. And liberalism has no end to it. And so, and if you want to talk about it in detail, I'd be happy to do that. But anyway, it's if they say, we had a wonderful congregation. Our elders really kept the whole congregation just right in the Bible. Well, great. Now you know something about them. And you can say, that's this congregation. Let me tell you, this congregation is just like that. Oh, really? Well, now immediately you've given them a feel of these people and I have a commonality. We're the same. And they will have a foundation from the first, and that's what you got to do. It's that first impression. And that first impression is built in many ways. Once it's built, they don't have any trouble parking. They didn't have any trouble finding the church. You told them very clearly how they got there. You said, I'll go down to this. Where do you know? I'll come down and guide you. We don't want you to. No. Let me do that. We want to be of service. We're a serving congregation. Let me come down to the parking lot there at the mall, and I'll pick you up. I'm driving this, and I'll guide you, this kind of car, and I'll drive you back, and you can follow me back to church. And then make sure that you've got somebody here at the church, if it's necessary, to save them a parking place because they're newcomers. You've got to pamper them. You've got to love them. They've got to feel loved. Anybody here doesn't like to be loved? That's not strange that there's no hands. And we all love to love and we love to be loved. And they're no different. And they're strangers and they don't know what to expect, but the more You give them what they need and what they want from the very beginning, even on the telephone. When they phone you and say, you know, is this the Church of Christ? Oh, yes, it is. We love to be of service to people. Can we help you? Well, yes, please, you know. And right there is a friendly tone, a welcoming tone, and then you just guide them in. You have somebody at the door. Now, you got to train the congregation in this, okay? Somebody at the door, assigned to the door to greet these people, to introduce these people, to get somebody in the congregation that's like them. Like them. They have two kids, get somebody that have kids the same age. If it's like them, they're about what age they are, about that age. If you ask them, you know, in the conversation as you get along with them and taking them out and inviting them over to home, you find out what sports they like. Then you try to get the people in the congregation who love that same sport, whether it's football or golf or whatever it is, and you do the same with hobbies. You do the same thing with things they like. Do you like to surf? Do you like to climb the mountain? Do you like, you know, whatever the case may be? Find some people in the congregation that like the same thing, and then say, oh, yeah, we got a family. Let me introduce you. Wait just a minute. See if I can find them. And immediately take care of this situation, because immediacies, you see, are important things. And it's important that I serve you and help you be happy. That's the attitude you've got to have. Everybody's got to have this serving attitude that Christ says we're all supposed to have as servants of His. He serves us every second of existence. And the least we can do to show that appreciation to Him is to take other people into our love, into our wing, and serve them as best we can. It's getting the people, you see, getting the people in, you get them introduced to those that are similar, you find somebody, you sit them down with somebody, and that person there and everybody else helps them make sure they have a songbook, they have a bulletin. They tell, this is our preacher right down there in the corner, and he's been with us for so many years. You want to make them with as much information as you unobviously can give them so that they feel a member of this congregation already. Yeah, we're a great church. Yeah, this church was started back in 1823 by this certain family. And we've been here, you know, going and growing ever since. Well, okay, and so they now know as much as you know about that. And the more they know about the congregation, the more they're going to feel, this is my congregation. And usually people who are looking for a congregation are people who have moved into town and their plans are to what? Go to one congregation and check it out. And then what? Go to another one, check it out. And so you're in competition with every congregation in town. Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad, because wherever they're the happiest, they're going to work the most for the Lord. And that's what's important. It's not where they go to worship. It's not important they go to worship with you more than someplace else. It's where they can serve the Lord the best. So what's your task? What's our task? You see? Is to get them and serve them with what they need. They need the Word of God. There's so many people that sin so much, and they don't know they're sinning. They don't know they're sinning. You can take Acts chapter 5 as an example. We all know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, but not many people really understand that story. See, what was the sin there? Well, nearly always we say, they lied to Peter. Go back and read the story. It didn't say they lied to Peter. In verse 2 it says there that you've not lied just to me, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. And then when he's talking, now, you've not lied to me, you've lied to God. But I only talked to Peter. How'd that happen? Pretty simple. Peter is a child of God's, and Peter has the Holy Spirit, and that's God's Spirit. So when as Christians we lie to one another, we're lying to God if we have the Holy Spirit. And that's the sin, the fact that you are not being what you should be to your brothers and sisters. Now, I don't want to go into that except to say that, see, there's a lot in the Bible that we don't really understand. We've been taught the peripheral out here about it, but we're not a nation of deep thinking. We're not a nation of meditation like the Indians and some of the other countries are. And so we don't go very deep many times in our thinking and our searching of what the Lord wants us to know. But my main point here is we don't know unless we study and read. So we've got to have lessons by the individuals to do the teaching who are not the most humorous, who are not the best, speakers. They're not the ones who do not make a mistake in their grammar. They're not the best looking. They're not the most popular individual in the country. That's not what we're after. We're after the people who can teach and the people who listen learn the most. That's what we're after. Building up the congregation, not physically. Numerics, you don't find Heart of the Lord talking about numerics very much. In Acts there, he talks about that the church grew. Well, this was the main emphasis here was not on the number, but on the fact that everybody was working and the church was growing. Souls are being saved. It's not how many chairs you got or how big a building or how nice a building or the great location on top of the hill where everybody can see the building. That's not it. Our job is to save souls. That's our only job in this life. It's not living. We're all going to do that until we don't. Our job is to save souls individually and collectively. I heard a sermon once. I'm not sure I totally agree with it, but the principle you will agree with, I think. He said he didn't think any soul was going to get to heaven unless that soul had led some soul to heaven. Well, when you think about that, if you haven't led somebody to salvation, you kind of doubt that and hope not. It's not true. But the principle is right. If I am a Christian, don't I appreciate it enough that I want to help somebody else get to heaven too? See? And so we don't all have the same talent. That's for sure. And so therefore, we should use our talent. Well, what is our talent? Well, that's what we're going to find. We're going to find what talent we can do for the Lord. My grandmother, as long as I can remember, from the time I was born in the church, but she was the one who cleaned the church building. Even old Brother Lucer's spittoon over in the corner. Until she got tired of doing it and told him he's going to clean himself if he missed. But anyway, she's the one that cooked all the communion bread and filled the cups and washed the cups and took them home. She was the one that fed so many hobos. Where our town in East Texas was the main terminal for the trains that turn around there. So a lot of hobos came in to get on another train going someplace else. She always fed them a hot meal. It might have been just toast and eggs. This was during the Depression. But she would always feed them a hot meal as long as I can remember. I don't remember feeding her a cold meal or leftovers or something. But my grandmother was one of the outstanding ladies in the church, and she used her talent to bring people to Christ. And she was talking to people about Christ. You need to come to our church, she'd say. She says, come and see if you don't like it. Come and see if we're not following the Bible. Well, my mother was not a great evangelist, but my mother did all she could. We lived in San Diego, and she would invite the servicemen over all the time. Church would be there, and there'd be these servicemen standing around, and she'd invite them and go home, and she'd do something. I can remember we had Grunion. I'm not going to go into details there, but we had Grunion many times. They'd come and have the Grunion. The Grunion was running, and so we'd all go out on the beach there and catch them, and she'd come in, and she'd spend all Saturday night up until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning cleaning Grunion so the next Sunday that she could invite all these servicemen who'd come there in San Diego, Naval Base, to church. Well, we are all different. Some of us are just greeters. Some of us are faithful to church. Some of us are people who can cook well. Some of us who are talkers and just as friendly as can be. I mean, that's really great. That's wonderful. Whatever it is, we all have a talent. God has left no one without a talent. You can see that story in the Bible. We all have our talents. We've got to find our talents. And we've got to use those talents. Just knowing the talents is not going to help you at all. Not going to help the Lord at all. Not going to get us to heaven. Not going to help us be a better Christian or get anybody else to heaven. So we need to do that. Well, okay, there's a lot more I can say on that. Except that this congregation has got to be what that individual needs and wants. Let me tell you a story. There were two families who went to a town, small town, and one of the families came from a big church that just really worked hard. It was a working church. Everybody in there had jobs to do and everything. Everybody was working really hard for the Lord. And they moved to this small town, and they went to this one church. They had two churches in town. Went to this one church, and nobody greeted them. And they came down and sat down in the pew, and they couldn't find a songbook. And the preacher got through preaching, and he stood out there, and he shook their hands and welcomed and said, glad to have them. And just like he did everybody else, and they came and left, and going out the door, they looked at each other, and, you know, this is not it. This is not it. They went across town, this congregation, they got there. They wondered who they were from, what they were from, what they do in that church where they were. What did they do for the Lord? Well, you know, we worked on this committee, and we worked on this committee, and we did this. Great, great, we've got those committed to this congregation. You know, we want you to work in these. Will you work in these committees here and give us your experience? Oh, yeah, of course, you know. People are always happy to do that. And so they come in and everybody makes sure that somebody sits down beside them and helps them out, answers all their questions, is friendly with them, gets through, invites them out, and takes them out to eat lunch, spends the time with them trying to find out where they're from, what they like, what they don't like about the church. One of the good questions you do is you ask them, what are you looking for in a church? That's a real good question. When you're talking to them, you ask them, you know, what are you looking for in a church? And they will tell you the negatives, not about the church where they came from. It's just in generality when they speak. They won't say, oh, the church we came from was named this, this, and this, and this, they did these bad things. They won't do that. They may say, well, where the church we came from, it just didn't do anything. Which means what? You see? It means we're looking for a church that's doing something. And if you can tell, oh, that's great, man. That's great. You've been trained. You got experience. You got the attitude. That's fantastic. We've got this going, and we've got this going, and this going, this going. We've got the local work here. We've got foreign work we're doing. And we ourselves are trying to develop ourselves. We've got classes. We've got training programs. We got the Lee's Bible class. We've got the sewing group, and we've got... And she said, wow, you know, this is a growing church. This is fantastic. But you see, the other family moved into town. And they were from a dead church. And they went to the same church. And they immediately gave the same door. To know, what did you do with the church where you were? Well, we didn't do anything, you know. We attended there. Well, how was the church? Oh, it was a good church. You know, it was a good church. What programs did you have? Well, we really didn't have any programs. We supported a missionary or two, I think. I don't know where, but I think we did. And you see, what are they going to do? Are they going to stay? No, they're not. They're going to go across town and check out that church. Then when they find the church that really works, that's where they're going to go. I'm sorry. I've got this story mixed here. These are the ones who went into this church that are really active. They go out the door, you know, and shake their head. That's not for us. We're not workers. we don't want to have pressure on us to do something. And so they go over and find the congregation that's dead, you see. and they're happy over there. They can sit down and do nothing but come on Sundays. And I know you don't have any people in this congregation like that. Obviously, you're not the ones here tonight anyway. But this is what you've got to be. You've got to be what they need and what they want. And every soul knows what it needs. The soul knows, the mind doesn't. The soul does. Sometime you go to the top of a mountain and see a sunset. How do you feel? Quiet. Beautiful. Peaceful. Oh, man, if I could just have this feeling every day, all the time, you know? That's what our soul is after. It's after peace. It's after goodness. We all love to see goodness. All good people love to see goodness. All good people like to do goodness. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. One time I witnessed a little boy, and he was lacking a quarter to get an ice cream cone. And the man there standing in line behind him said, reached in his pocket, you know, he says, hey, oh, wow, man, now I get my ice cream cone. For a quarter, you get a big smile, you get a feeling of being of service. It's well worth the quarter. All goodness is worth more to our soul for our sake than anything else. The person who learns to love to serve is the happiest person in the world, who loves to serve, because that's the heart of Christ and God. They love to serve. They don't love the evil we do. They don't love the bad. They don't love the bad things. They love us. And that's got to be our attitude. Everybody who comes in the door is not perfect. Once they get in the door and get baptized, guess what? Their sins are washed away. But you just give them a few minutes or a few hours, and what have they done? They've sinned again, right? My point is, none of us are perfect. Let's not go around judging individuals by the cleanness or the niceness of their clothes or, you know, how much money they make or their occupation or where they come from and such as that. I joke sometimes when people will come, you know, when they would come, maybe they come from Arkansas or someplace, and I'll say, oh, well, that's all right. We'll love you anyway. but they know I'm joking, you know. And I show them that I'm joking, and I let them know, you know, that I went to school there, and I got many friends there, and now even relatives there. So, you know, it's them feeling you accept and like me. That's what they want. That's what they need. And we have no right to be proudful or arrogant or self-righteous and say, well, I'm better than they are, you know. And this sometimes is just, I don't want to get off into this either, but pride is man's worst problem as I see it in life. Because you know what pride is? Pride is the lie we tell ourselves. I don't know. I don't know who that was. Still don't know. But pride is the telling of ourselves a lie that we're better than everybody else and believing it. That's what pride is. And how much foolishness does it take for me to tell me a lie and me believe it? That's pretty bad. That's pretty foolish. So we as Christians need to make sure that we continue to be what Christ wants and to help these people who come accept them. Not just tolerate them. I'm not talking about toleration. I talk about that in one of the books I'm going to write on marriage Some people think they're love and they don't love. They just learn to tolerate each other. They're never happy, but they don't know that, you see. And people, this is my point I got off from. Don't get old, you forget where you are sometime in your sermons. But you are a person that loves to be loved, and you think you're loving when you're not. You think you're good when you're not, really. I've asked many a person in my life, you know, are you a good person? They don't like that question, but they smile about it. Yeah, well, I think so, you know, I hope so. That's usually the answers I get. But you see, maybe they are, maybe they're not. But they want to feel they're good. You can see the drunk down here laying on the curb, and he's thrown up, and he's just drunk as can be, can't even stand up. And you say, hey, fella, what are you doing down there? Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. What, you want to fight about it, you know? he wants everybody to feel he's good. A Christian, because that's what I'm supposed to be. We're all like that, except those who learn to be humble and not lie to themselves so much and be filled with pride. So we need to humble our hearts. Humble our hearts. That's the first thing I'd recommend to the church of anybody. Humble your hearts. I've taught years and years, 40 some odd years or more, in education, in Christian colleges. Christian college, basically. And I have found that students that are most proudful have got the most troubles and the most arrogant. The proudful student sits in the back over there playing with his phone or sitting there, you know, slouched down the chair and never taking any notes. Not a bit interested in learning because he knows all this. Or this is not peer, he doesn't need this. His mind is someplace else. And he still wants to pass course, which he doesn't with me, but he sits back over there, and that's his attitude. It's pride that puts him back there. And he doesn't take the test, and if he does, he always fails it. But the person who's really got a humble attitude, they're right down here nearly always. They're right there, right, taking notes. They realize they don't know, and here is somebody who does know that's giving me what I'm going to need in life. And they're admitting by sitting there that I don't know. I want to know. And we've got to be that in this situation of leading people to Christ. We've got to realize that, you know, it's not me just being a good person. And as I started saying before, I've asked my students too many times, you know, hey, what, are you really a good student? Are you really a good person? Oh, yeah. How do you know? I don't commit murder, and I don't steal, and I don't, you know, and all these I don't things come in there, which no one does hardly. And so I tell them, well, but that's not what I want to know. What do you do for Christ? Well, they've got to stop, and you see their eyes roll, you know, roll back a little bit, and they're, and they're groping for something that they do for Christ. See, that tells them, that my point is them, not me. I try to help them to see Christianity is an active religion. It's not a passive religion. It's what you've got to do for Christ. You've got to do what you're going to do for others. Life is real simple. You know, we think it's all complicated because we've got problems, all this kind of stuff. It's really pretty simple. What's the purpose of life? It's to see what kind of character we can make of or wise enough to make of ourselves to see if we're going to fit heaven or not. That's all what life's about. Because as the saying goes, I don't know who invented the saying, for said it first, doesn't make any difference, but heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And if you're not prepared to go there, the Lord's not going to ruin heaven just for Malcolm because Malcolm's hard-headed and won't do what he should be doing. He may be a nice guy, but heaven's got to be a place where everybody loves him and he loves everybody. Everybody. Now, not everybody's easy to love. You can ask my wife about that. You see, it's a matter of how much love do I have? Do I have more love than that person's got problems? Does that person have more power in hurting my pride than I have control of my feelings to love them anyway? You see, if I'm not greater than them and I can't overcome what they do to me and realize, hey, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but you're not going to make me feel bad because I don't let other people's opinion, which normally don't mean much. Usually, if you somebody hates me, I hope they don't have justification for it. I try to always stop and think, Malcolm, is that right? Is he true? Is that what he says? Is that what I hear that somebody said? Is that true? And if it is, I think, well, okay, Malcolm, you better start working on that. That's one or more of those things you better start working on, praying for. Because we've got to be that kind of person to that when that person comes to this congregation, he sees this congregation good. That's not hard. In Acts 10:38, it says Jesus went about doing good. That's just a real short little sentence. He went about doing good. Fantastic. What does he expect of me? I am a Christian, a one like Christ. Okay? Am I an American? One that's like an American. This is what I am. We've got to be, again, what God wants to invite into heaven. We've got to close each day with God looking down on us and just feeling, I can't wait till he gets hip home, hip here. I can't wait till this person gets home. Until he passes on and I can call him up here. Meanwhile, I'm leaving them down there to set a good example and to work hard as best they can. Are we doing that? Are we that active? Birds of a feather flock together, right? Don't they? Yeah, you see birds. You see all these birds lined up on a telephone line sometimes. I've seen some places where they have these, I don't know what kind of birds they are. Look kind of like blackbirds, except they're not that black. They're kind of brown. I'd probably know the name if I heard it, but anyway. But the birds, they're a flock. They all stay together. They all fly together. They all come back together. And they line up one right beside each other on all these telephone lines for a block. You don't see any other birds sitting there with them on that telephone line. Only those. You don't see two kinds of birds nesting together. And I'm not out here talking about society here and racial differences. I'm just talking about there is a kind of bird. They have a personality. You have a fellowship. What happens? All the old geezers get together and the younger geezers get together, you know. And here's the ladies over here. And here's the young ladies over here. And, you know, this is normal. It's normal. We have things in common. And the more things we have in common, the more we want to be with other people who have the things in common. This is true when people come here. If you and they have the most things in common, then it's fantastic. They like that. They want to stay. They're determined to stay. I don't care how far across town they're going to drive, they're going to come here because they like what they found. All right? How do we do that? It's not what we are, but it's what we build ourselves to continuously work towards being. If they see this congregation really working hard at trying to become better and better and better, they think, hey, then that's me. Churches draw to them the kind of people the church is. And that's the kind of church that deserves the people to stay with them. If they're less than that, then the people, you see, come and they're a positive action to that church. But the church is not a benefit to them. If they're worse than that, well, the church is one that has to drag them along. And so that's not fair either. Nearly all situations, people go to a congregation that's like unto themselves. They feel comfortable. They feel nice. Kids gather in gangs. I don't mean bad gangs. I'm talking about groups, I should say, maybe. You know, of those like themselves. Here's the ones that are all footballish. And these are the ones over here, all scholars. And the ones over here, these are just the quiet, simple, easygoing ones. And you've got some that are really interested in social life. Well, in high school, you see, here are these different groups. They all get together in these different groups because we all like those like ourselves. So if you want the congregation to become evangelistic, you've got to be evangelistic. If you want the congregation to be better and better, you've got to be that growing factor in this congregation that is growing like they would like to grow. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. Well, if you want a congregation to grow, naturally the thing you've got to do most is pray about it. Pray about it. Really desire it in your heart. Don't just say the words in a prayer. That's not what God wants here. God wants to know what your heart is. Your heart has got to be not a hypocritical heart, but a sincere, honest heart. That is, one that doesn't just pray for it and pray for it and pray for it, but they get out and do something about it. Get out and do something about it. This congregation has to develop habits. I don't know what your habits are or not, so I can speak freely. But you see, if this congregation is not prone to meeting every guest that comes, you need to start working and teaching this congregation. Every person who comes in that door, every member of this congregation should go to them and welcome them and thank them for coming, shake their hand, get to know who they are, and show them we're really interested in you and your soul, not some number. We're interested in you. You as a person. I want to know about you. Where'd you come from? Where's your hometown really? What's your occupation? What's your interest? That shows you're interested in me. We see this in the young couple, a young man and woman, you know, they get together for the first time, they meet, and they kind of like each other, and they get together. What do? They don't talk about the weather. They don't talk about politics. They talk about each other. They want to know about the other one. Oh, they can learn about that one because they see an opportunity here to find somebody like me. And the more like them they are, of where they like to go do their vacation time, with the mountains, the beach, or the desert, or wherever. Oh, really? You know? And you like dogs? Oh, I love dogs. I have dogs all my life. Wow, man, we feel good inside to find somebody else who loves dogs like I love dogs. And the more of these things that we have alike, not only the happier marriage we have, the more we are close together by our commonality. And so when the person comes here, the more you know of them, the more they feel you're really interested in me. I'm interested in people who are interested in me. That's us. We're Homo sapiens. We're humans. And when we can do this and get this feeling built up to where every member does this, they can leave and one turns to them and says, wow, that's the friendliest congregation I've ever seen in my life. I don't think anybody there failed to come shake my hand. But you can't just say to the congregation when somebody gets here, now we have a guest, so make sure everybody shakes their hand, you know. If they pump their hand, everybody, they feel what? What do they feel? Why did these people get friendly? They were told to. You know? It's like general person. If a person evangelizes somebody, that's his conviction. If the preacher evangelizes, that's what? That's his job. That's what he's paid for. You see? In other words, I'm not important. So we've got to have this heart of understanding and trying to understand what we've got to be. And it's not easy to teach a congregation for everybody to shake hands with them, to greet them and get to know them. But that's what's important. Well, I'm going to leave this syllabus with you. It's the Discipleship by Malcolm. I told my wife, I told my secretary how to change this, but we didn't communicate. And it reads, a study of the discipleship adapted for a mini seminar at South Valley Church Christ. So you might didn't check it. So I didn't have time to check it. She did this the day before I left. But anyway, I'm leaving this with you. I'd encourage you to read it. It's not. It's just a syllable that from which I taught this course and from which I've lectured. It's got a lot of ideas in here of who a disciple is and what a disciple does and how you make a disciple. And if you can get from this just one good thought that'll change your life, it's well worth going over. It's just simple. It's just outline. That's all it is, outline. And if I can help y'all in any other way, anytime, it would be a joy, as it is every time, a joy to come and be with you. I'm going to close in regrets, to the comment about 2 or 3 hours. it is my custom to preach for a long time, I do love and enjoy talking about God's Word and bettering ourselves for His service. But I'm going to quit now. And if anybody has any questions about church growth or attitudes in the congregation or how to get problems solved, all these things I've taught for many years at the college level, graduate school level, I'll be happy to help you whenever I can. I don't know everything, but happy to share with you what I can. And may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord take care of you. And may the Lord give you oneness of heart. And give you an attitude of positive, active Christian life on the part of everyone. Finding your talent and doing the best you can. The good book tells us that when we do these things, the Lord adds. He adds to our talents. He gives us other things. He helps us to see the latent things in our lives that have been there a long time. I've talked to a lot of people in my lifetime, and it's been interesting as I've listened to them. They said, well, you know, I've just taken up art, and my teacher says I'm really good. Look, and she is good. I'm in the picture. She's fantastic. She says, I never knew that I had this talent. Well, you know, here's 50 years old and just realized they got a talent in art. Wonderful. It's this kind of a reviving of something in their feelings and all. A new talent. But the Lord says He will do that to us if we will apply what we have. But He knows if He gives us a new one, we'll treat it just like we treated the old one. We know that we're like that. Our kids are like that. You know? If they don't take care of one bicycle, you know you give them another, what's going to happen? And so it is with God. He knows us. So if we want to grow, find what we have, pray to the Lord. Lord, help me to see my talents and help me to put them to use. And then look for them. Matthew 7:7, seek and what? Knock and what? It's there. It's there. All you got to do is look for it. Have a heart for it. Have a heart really to serve God. Now, when you've got that, He's going to help you find it. You're not going to do it on your own. He's going to help you because you're doing what He said to do, and He likes good kids. So He's going to help out, and we'll be blessed. And when we see ourselves growing, it's a fantastic feeling of self-respect. Our value is increasing. People are respecting us more. God is blessing us more. I feel better about myself than I've ever felt in years. Because I've been working now for the Lord recently more than I ever have in my life. And I'm excited about it. It's thrilling. I've never had this kind of excitement because my spirit within me is all thrilled over the fact of what my mind has decided we're going to do. And may He help you to be the child you were designed to be. Designed to be like Him. He made us in His image that we would be like Him so that He would invite us into heaven and live together with all the other kids that are good too. Not just like us. They're different. They've got different likes, different personalities, different problems they've overcome. But they have overcome their problems just like we've overcome our problems. They've had faith in God just like we had faith in God. God helped them just like He helps us. This is the Christian life. And may the Lord bless us in it. Let's have a prayer. Oh, wonderful God, please take all pride away from us. Help our pride not to blind us so much that we can't see our need for humility. Help us to see the reality of our lives. Do we really enjoy serving others, or do we always want others to serve us? Do we want to help others, or do we want to control others? Do we want to be of service to them, or do we want them to be of service to us? Oh Lord, help us to love. Help us to see the love that You show for us, and do our best to love others that way. Help us to be children of Yours, Your children, thinking and doing and have Your spirit. Help us to love evil, love good, and hate evil. Help us, O Lord, to be humble and come to You for help for everything. Talk to You about everything, regardless of how big or little it might be. We just love You and love to talk to You. We love to feel Your presence. We love to see all the blessings You give us. So please show us, Lord, that our love for You will grow so that our obedience for You will grow. So that the blessings will come back to us, not for us and our glory, but they'll come to us and that we can use them for Your glory. Thank You, Lord, we're together. Thank You for the truths we've discussed tonight. Thank You for this congregation. Bless it. Give it the heart and determination to get to work and do all that it can in every area of becoming more like Your Son, our Savior, that it will gather together more like unto itself as You've designed us all to be. Thank You, Lord. We love You. We love You very much, very much. And we know You love us even more. And we're so thankful for that. This, we praise You, we thank You, and we ask of You in our beloved Savior's name, in the name of Your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.